After Buzzers, welcome to the first after show for the new CW series, The Outpost. Tonight, we are breaking down episode one, One is the Loneliest Number. We are talking all things Talon's past and her journey on revenge. We got a lot to cover, so stick around.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
This song, I was very happy with this song because it sounded so, like, fantasy-esque for this show, but, oh, and the lights are going off, too. For those of you watching, lights were going off, but guys, we are here. Finally, we have been seeing trailer after trailer, but we finally saw this episode, finally got to kind of know what it was about. I am your host, Veronica Valencia, and to my left, I have a great panel of other hosts. Would you guys introduce yourself?
Hey guys, I'm Mina.
And I'm Teron. And this isn't the song I would have chose. I would have chose 50 Cent's Wanksta. I just feel like there were a lot of wanksters in this show.
I never heard it. I don't know that song. I'll agree with you, sure.
Really? You've never heard 50 Cent's Wanksta?
Nah, not at all.
So much culture I need to teach you.
Oh, we got a whole season. I'm sure I'll catch up. But yeah, so later on in the show, like I had mentioned, we're going to be talking about Talon's past with the Black Bloods. Why were they hated? We're also going to be talking about the world and all the mythology that was entered. But, so, yeah, let's jump right into the show. So, it opens with Talon kind of trying to find mysteries of their... She's trying to find out who these guys with these tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it kind of then cuts to a flashback, and we see everything that happens with the Black Bloods, and they basically all get slaughtered. So, but there's a point in that sequence where, like, Talon is playing, and, like, these other human children come up to her and is just, like, you know, taunting her and kind of bullying her and almost, like, want to beat her up and her friend. So, I don't know, like, what do you guys think? Why do you think that they're so hated? Because I wasn't expecting them to be hated, kind of.
I feel like there's always, like, this constant fear of anyone who is other. So if you don't fit within, like, what you're normally used to seeing, there is that fear there, especially when you're not exposed to different groups of people. So, like, we've seen this time and time again throughout history. We've seen this with the Armenian Genocide in 1915. We've seen it with, like, groups of people just trying to annihilate, like, an entire race or an entire population. So not just in history, like, even when it comes to, like, different fantasy shows or movies, like, the same theme in Harry Potter when Voldemort tries to get rid of anyone who's, like, a muggle or a half-blood, and he just wants pure blood. It's very reminiscent of, like, the Holocaust and trying to find that one perfect Aryan race. So it's not, like, a story that we haven't seen before. It's just done in a different fashion for a teen demographic because it's on the CW. So, story is good. I have, like, you know, my critiques of the show that we'll get into later.
Yeah, an initial feel. I think the concept of it's not something we've never seen before. The show is also, when put into context, is not something we've never seen before. I didn't see a lot of originality in the show. And even though it's very fun and it's nice to watch, their storylines, for example, with the Black Bloods, the concept of other, as Mina pointed out, and we get that feel because her ears are different. Mm-hmm. And her ears are so different that she assumingly cuts them to shape them to be more human. Now, we didn't actually see her cut them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I think might play out later on. But it's her way of assimilating into this new environment and new family that she's become a part of. But we weren't given a lot of information in a way where this wasn't an origin episode. It wasn't a fantasy episode. It wasn't a science episode. It was a science fiction without enough fiction and overdoing it a lot with words, the half red moon, and I was there for three seasons, and things of that nature, which play out very interestingly and might be a bit overdone and redundant throughout this season of 10 episodes.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree with that. I also felt like a lot of the scenes, especially the fight scenes, felt like you were just walking into medieval times. Like, it felt very, like, okay, I'm just gonna, like, act like I'm, like, dodging out of the way. And it just felt very theatrical in a way that wasn't authentic.
Too coordinated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't... I kind of disagree a little bit. I think it was, for me, I thought the trailers didn't show enough. And so I kind of was going into it like, oh, man, I don't know what exactly is going on. I don't know what to expect. But when I watched it, I was like, you know what? I can get behind this. And then when we got the flashback of her past, something that this particular sequence I really enjoyed is I felt like the Black Bloods were kind of living this weird in-between life where they weren't human, but they weren't considered monsters. Like, they weren't violent, but they also do seem to have some kind of, like, supernatural power that makes them different and that makes people fear them. And so I liked that aspect of, like, well, are they monsters or are they good? And it's definitely up to the perception of whoever is watching.
But it seemed forced, right? Everything in the episode seemed forced. We learn quickly about each character in a developed way. For example, we first see Talon. Talon's the girl. She's clearly the protagonist that we're supposed to fall in love with. She has a troubled childhood, meets kind people, but used to being on her own to the point where she doesn't even know how to say thank you to the next person who we meet who's going to be a follow-up player, Garrett, the soldier. We see that there's an immediate interest between the two. Does he play out to be the love interest? He's the heroic type with the chip on the shoulder, as we see when we come up to the third person, who is the gatekeeper, his father, Withers, and so forth. So everything seems very forced and condensed to me in the show for a first episode. It's almost as if they are saying, let's get everything out because I don't know what's going to happen with this show. And when it comes to, for example, Talon, I wanted to know more about the Black Bloods and fall in love with those people. I wasn't able to do so with Talon or the Black Bloods. I didn't get enough of this origin or backstory or enough of a tease to tease me into waiting for more origin and backstory. And that seems to be something that I hold in a higher regard, is I want to know this. I want to know this. I want to feel connected to you. I want to. She's clearly, Jessica Green as an actress is obviously a newer actress as she's coming into this role. She's portraying this very strong female protagonist who still seems to have emotional tendencies that play out, whether it's she's enraged at a point, even though she's trained, or she has a small smitten of attraction and is immediately taken and then pushes someone away, guarded in that manner. And these are things that I wish did not play out in the show as much, because I did and I still do want this show to be strong, because mm-hmm. the concept of it is amazing. How they portray it may not be.
I feel like I'm on the exact same page as Tehran. So yeah, good concept, like solid story, but just the way it's being done, I'm not a fan with. I do think that we will get into an origin story later on. I think there has to be an origin
story.
There
has to be one,
because
right?
There's no way that you can like form a connection with characters without understanding where they came from, why it is that they're on this mission, what it is that drives them or that, you know, makes them passionate about whatever the cause is. In this case, like, it's going to be a revenge story. So, like, we saw a little bit about what happened and how brutal it was. I want to see more of baby Talon and childhood Talon.
Which I'm sure we're going to get a much more of, and it shouldn't all be in the first episode, but I wanted to feel more connected to baby Talon.
Yeah.
They really breezed by that.
I definitely see what you're saying, and I completely understand. I think they're going about it in a way where they're going to weave in these flashbacks with, like you said, origin stories, and they even kind of wove in, you know, her past and that flashback. I think they're trying to, I don't want to say keep the audience in the dark, but I think we are supposed to be very, we are supposed to relate to Tal in the sense she doesn't know what's going on. Like, as we saw in the flashback when she was a kid, she kind of, you know, froze right before she was about to get attacked and, like, an arm came out, and that, she knows nothing about her past. She's completely in the dark, and probably other children her age, too. Like, her friend was probably in the dark, too. They have no idea what they are. So I think the idea of, like, we're going to learn with her is kind of the concept they're going for.
I mean, I hope so, but at the same time, I'm not on board with her yet. Mm-hmm. So when you're watching a show, I should feel on board with whoever it is. And CW is actually really good at that. For example, when you watch the DC shows that are on CW, you're not looking at amazingly good shows, but you do feel on board with these characters, each and every one, whether you knew them from your childhood or not. You might not know who Flash is, but if you watch the show, you feel instantly connected to Flash. Now, with Talon and the actress who portrays her, I really want to like her. But a lot of the dialogue and the way that the each scene played out made me actually not like her as much. It actually almost went out of its way to make sure that I didn't feel attached to this character. Mm-hmm. In a way where, first of all, the polish of the show was, it reminded me, reminiscent of, like, when you watch television in the United States versus a Canadian show or an Australian show or a show from New Zealand, which I think this is from New Zealand. I know that Jessica Green is originally Tasmanian, from Australia, the Tasmanian part of Australia, yeah. So right at home in that field. But the concept is, it looks like a show that's not as polished, right? So you watch something like Doctor Who, you immediately know it's an English television show, and that's the highest level of the BBC mm-hmm. shows. Well, you would expect a little something more, whether it comes to writing and the overall correction, tone, and direction of the show. And that's what my, because I want to genuinely really like this show and storyline, because the idea is so magnificent. The Black Bloods, why do they hate them? What's wrong with them? The concept of the other, so relevant today. Great social commentary. Her wanting to fit in. She wants to assimilate. I can understand that from a minority perspective. Got to use the white voice. Any of those things all play and interweave. However, they didn't do it as properly as they could have.
Yeah. Well, like, the show obviously is going to follow her journey. Like, this was just part one of her journey of trying to find, you know, the guy who did the tattoos for these people who she recognized killed her entire family. And so I hope, as you're saying, over the course of her journey, we're going to grow more with her. We're going to grow more with the rest of the characters. Speaking of the characters, we were introduced to quite a few, more than I would have thought, to be perfectly honest. We were introduced to Garrett Spears.
Sure.
Who was, I believe, was the captain of the guards.
Of the outpost,
of
yeah.
Of the outpost. Mm-hmm. And he actually, you know, they met because he saved her from these weird things called Pleglings, which are like their thing of
it's their Walking zombies. Dead. It's their zombies. Zombies.
Yeah.
It's their zombie Blade 2 crossover with the mouth.
Yeah.
Monster. It was so cheesy. Like, come on, guys. Seriously.
Sure, but
like,
I'm not expecting the best CGI. I'm not. But I wanted. It seemed forced once again.
Yeah.
These Pleglings. Why are they there? Why do they exist? What is their mission? What do they actually want? It was just, once again, thrown in. And I could have done with enough with just learning more about Talon. So that was almost as if they added an extra track to an album that was incomplete to begin with. And that's why. So with Garrett Spears, who we learned he changed his name at 14 when he joined because he wanted to distance himself from his father. That's all these character developments, right? The chip on the shoulder. And one thing, like, about Talon's, she has this inner beautiful soul we don't know about because she was drawing in the notebook and she drew the family and drew the other little girl that was there and we're gonna see, like, the new girl coming up is the antithesis of that girl, right? So she's drawing and it's like, oh yeah, she's guarded, but there's this beautiful soul in her. Then we see something very similar with Garrett is, yeah, he comes off very douchey. And he wants to
be
the hero.
I wasn't gonna say douchey. I was gonna say very flirty.
I was going to say, like kind of like chivalrous. He's like this, like, I don't know. He's the cliche lead in any
knight
sort
in
of, like,
armor.
Princess
I didn't think it was
bride.
Chivalry, actually. Like, I thought it was ego. I thought it was him
it's a little
saying,
bit of both.
I'm the hero. Look at me. I'm the hero. I'm the captain. Oh, I saved the fact that I was a captain for the perfect time to tell you that I'm the captain so you could eat those words. That's a form of ego. And we see him having that ego because he likes the power that he wields over the people he commands. He even gives, I command you to open the gate. He doesn't just say, open the gate, let me give you logical reasons behind it. He says, I'm the captain and I command you, and that's why. And we see that
same
aspect
as
of who he is.
Wife, or not wife, but the lady that he's with, yeah, says, I command you. So I feel like there are clearly class differences that are, like, spelled out in a very straightforward way that's very, like, I mean, there's, like, a better way to do it with, like, subtext, but this is, like, very in your face. Okay, they're in this class, they're in this class, they're in this tier, and...
But there's a difference, and we noticed that there's a difference between Garrett, because we feel like he's with her, but he's not. There's still a redeemable quality within him that we're waiting for it to come out, and we are secretly kind of supposed to want him and Talon to be together,
yeah,
because they both have a very similar guarded pain within them. And we see that.
But I feel like we were supposed to want that, but I don't think anyone really wants them to be together because, I mean, Talon is a very strong, dominant character, and there's, like, a mismatch there. Like, I can't even see the union between those two at all, unless he changes somehow, becomes more humble, becomes, like, on her level as opposed to someone who's, like, talking down to her.
I think he's completely playing an act right now based on, because we found out that the gate marshal was his father. And so you can tell, like, right off the bat, they have a probably strenuous relationship. And so I think he was kind of putting on an act. Like, as you had said, maybe he has more of a softer soul, kind of like Talon. Maybe he doesn't want to be this guard. Or maybe he puts up an act because of who his father is and he has to stay to his rank. But I don't know. I completely thought he was putting on an act. I think there was definitely more to him than we saw.
Oh, I'm assuming there's more to him. I would assume that his mother died when he was young, and his father and him have had this tumultuous relationship that has grown into him being willing to put his life at risk to prove he's his own man at 14. I'm giving him that redeemable quality. What I'm saying is it wasn't enough there. And even though it was a bit of a shock for him to have been with the girl, I forget the...
I believe her name was Gwyn.
Gwyn, who comes in later and is the... She's the rich girl of the crew. She's the valley girl of the crew. She's a bit of a hustler, but she's obviously from a higher caste, or at least is playing up to be part of that, which is causing whatever conflict it's causing. She's being chased.
Yeah. Well, I mean, since you brought up, speaking of Gwyn, what do we think of her as of right now? She had a very quick introduction. We kind of, we saw her very briefly kind of like playing along with the other guys. I think it was like cards or something like that. And then she kind of sees Talon. And then when another character we're introduced to, what was Toru Magmor, who turned out to be the man, one of the men who slaughtered Talon's family. She's
a mercenary, though.
Yeah.
So we realize not because he has just anger towards him.
He's a hitman.
He's a hitman. Yeah. And we see he's crude, and he's aware, but he's crude and knows it. A gun for hire.
Yeah.
Or a sword for hire, I guess, in this situation.
But we see that kind of their difference of personalities, where Talon's like, I want to confront this guy, and Gwyn's like, get me out of here. This guy wants to kill me, mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Another story that we don't find out more about. Why does he, of all people, want to kill her, and she's such a high rank, and why is the Prime Order after her, and these kind of things.
Yeah.
She comes off the bat, we get it. She's entitled, she's a bit of a bitch, and she makes no apologies for it, and she knows this about herself, whether it's because she also has a chip on her shoulder, which would be three main characters with different chips on their shoulders.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think, yeah, I think she is the most rooted in the class system. She's the most that's kind of like, this is how I was raised, this is how I am going to act. And again, we don't see much of her. Obviously, I think in later episodes we are going to see kind of where she comes from and maybe where she gets it from. But she's definitely very much, you know, what would you say, bow down to me? What was the line? Or
I command you to do this because I'm, like, telling
she's
you.
She's the wicked stepstister.
Yeah.
Right now, she's the stepsister who turns out to be Cinderella, is
yeah,
my opinion.
I feel like she's going to have some redeeming qualities
of course.
As well. And I think
we're going to have to like her.
You know, over time, like, that is going to be shed. Like, she's going to shed that part of her personality, and she's going to be involved in this greater mission and greater cause to do good in the world and to save the black blood race or, like, anyone else who's kind of being discriminated against in this kingdom. Mm. So I think she is going to turn and form some alliance with Talon.
So, obviously, we have covered a few characters now that are a part of this fantasy series, this new fantasy series.
We missed Jonzo.
Yeah, we'll get to him in a minute, but... this is a new, brand new series, as I had said, to the CW, so obviously we're covering in terms of content. However, we have a lot more stuff that, for our audiences, why don't you tell them about it?
Well, here's the thing, After Buzzers. I want you to know that our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows, and I mean that. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. And it's very simple to do so. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that that is tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz, that's us, continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be. They're optional. You just click them right off. I do it all the time. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did. So in the comments, that's right below, and we'll thank you on air. I love giving shout-outs. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
We got so much stuff going on, guys. But let's go into, what was it, Jonzo?
Jonzo. The professional roofier,
Well, that's what we all thought when he was putting something in the drink. Because it had a tone. Okay, Talon was sexually harassed like 14 times up to the bar. It was sexually harassed in the first scene. The guy she was talking to, I know something you can do for me. All the way to the bar.
It's too much.
Up to the bar, and she's not having it, right? And then we saw him put something in the drink, and we're like, uh-oh. And he's like, oh, you're staying here. I can help you. And we get that he's clearly has some type of social disorder where he is a little awkward for the norm. And it's not like our protagonist isn't awkward. She's I'm trying to get revenge person. But we accept that easier because she says it with a pretty face. So he was actually a good looking guy who was like changing his face to not be as good looking and have a conversation with her and was basically being a little awkward.
Exactly.
More than a little awkward. Like it was very awkward.
Sweet.
Very uncomfortable.
Sweet because he didn't roofie her. Like, we were actually all surprised.
Yeah, we're all like,
when it wasn't roofies. We were actually, I personally was very surprised she drank the drink to begin with. Like, you know people are out to get you. That's what you're a guarded person. Why would you drink this stranger's drink? But then we see it comes from a good place. He's a brewer. So we see that Jonzo has ambitions to be more than what he is, which is just a simple barkeep, right? That's what I mean when I say they inserted. It's like it was like plug and play characters. This is the lovable
barmaid brewer.
Exactly. This is the level, like, Gwen was donkey to her Shrek, right? Donkey, an entitled donkey. The prince and the donkey combined to her Shrek, right? So now we have, this is the slow, dim-witted, but somehow going to end up be extremely wise in the most random of things.
He's going to be the sidekick. He's going to be the sidekick.
It's like, drink this. It heals your eyes, you know?
Yeah, he's going to be, like, that be responsible guy. For giving her the antidote. Yeah. Like, we're not in predictions yet, but we know.
No. We know. They predicted for us.
It's very predictable.
And it's fun that way. I have no qualms. I actually think the show is very fun. But I just wish that it was a little more serious because it could have been. It could have been, and the audience would have been on board for that.
Mm-hmm.
I felt if it had even more Xena Warrior Princess, which it didn't do well, if it was even more Game of Thrones, which it also didn't do well, I would have been way more on board with it.
I feel like it tries to do, like, a little bit of everything, and it doesn't fully commit in one direction, and that's why it's kind of scattered, versus, like, I see what you're saying with, like, if you just fully committed to...
Fully commit, even if you were not serious. You're just the not serious sci-fi show.
Yeah, and then it's still enjoyable.
Buffy was really good at that. Yeah. Not being serious at being sci-fi. I really enjoyed that. And this is why, even with this character of Jonzo, we're watching someone unfold who, where do you come in later? I get it. We're being foreshadowed to something, but where, what? And you're also, we get it. He's trustworthy because she's like, I'm asleep in my room, and we expect him to vouch for her. Mm-hmm. You know, if they ask, he's going to be the one that goes, she was in her room asleep. I put roofies in her drink. I know.
Well, I think, to your guys' point, sorry, that maybe this forced or rushed pace is due maybe the fact that, I believe you said at the beginning of the episode, that it is a 10-episode series, and they're trying to very quickly establish these characters, establish this world, and then maybe, as I said earlier, weaving in bits of the past to bring us up to speed on all these things that we don't know yet. And it's hard. It's fantasy shows, I feel, are very hard to establish. Well, not hard, but to establish a world, because there's so much to explore. We already know Black Bloods. There's something going on there. And then there's the rules and, like, the class system, and then the Prime Order, which were, like, the government, or I want to say, like, the government of the land.
Sure. They're whatever the dictatorship that runs everything. Everyone goes through the Prime Order, whether they want to or not. So their whole subjectification is, there's ore on this land. As long as we give the armaments to the Prime Order that they want, they leave us alone.
Yeah.
So obviously the Prime Order is the maintaining systematic structure and infrastructure of whatever this realm is.
So they're definitely, like I said, they're definitely trying to establish this quickly because it's only 10 episodes.
Sure.
And maybe it'll smooth out. Hoping,
but they're doing things.
It'll be hard. I mean, I hope so. I definitely hope so. I just feel like I wish there was a more solid introduction to these mm-hmm. characters, because I feel like when it came to the flashback, when it came to young Talon, that actress who portrayed Talon was so adorable.
So wide-eyed, curious, intelligent,
adventurous. And I'm like, okay, so there's something here, definitely. Let's explore that. But there is this weird disconnect between young Talon and older Talon. And I want to know where that disconnect comes from, if there was some sort of, like, a gradual transition from that allowed her to be the way she is now, because I just don't feel like they're the same person. There's something that's lost with older Talon that we see in young Talon.
And I'm sure we're going to get a story, but even with 10 episodes, you could develop one story to make us want more. Right now, we're basically passing the time. And it's something we're doing with the way it plays out. So even the story of Garrett and Gwyneth being together was something that seemed a bit forced. We wouldn't expect that just because, not because of how the characters played out, but because of who the characters are. The Garrett that we met would never be with Gwyneth. So when they are, he acts as a different Garrett. That's not the guy that we've ever seen. So he's acting, and then he's acting again. We still haven't seen the real one to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And we just wouldn't expect him to be in that situation.
Yeah, but I think older,
in short of words,
older Garrett that we haven't seen yet was a different Garrett. So I feel like he was very much tied to his father. Maybe this was, like, before he was 14,
I think he might be meeting her to get out of his situation. She seems of an esteemed blood, and he wants to be the alpha, and she seems to be the alpha queen, right? She's the person who, if I'm the quarterback, I need to date the head cheerleader. She's mm-hmm. the head cheerleader. And now comes in the punk girl who's secretly really hot, but I have to clean her up first.
Well, that's what we kind of saw that when Gwen goes to Garrett and she has Talon with her, and he tries to act like, I don't know who this girl is. Like, I've never met her in my life.
Total F-boy move.
No.
He backed her. He kissed her and then was like, oh, who are you? Oh, you're my girlfriend, fiance, wife, baby mama, whoever she is to him. And Talon picks up on it immediately. Mm-hmm.
But I think that is just another instance where we see how much he has to act in this class system, how he has to keep this persona of this captain, even though he doesn't want to be.
That's interesting. I actually thought it was another instance where Talon is justified, where it's like, see, even this guy who I almost gave half a percent of a half a chance was a piece of S.
So now that we've talked about that, let's go into kind of the final moments of the episode where Talon finally confronts Toru Magmore and basically the fight that comes out of it. It kind of seemed like What's the word that I'm looking
for? Any terrible 80s movie? Yeah.
No, I wasn't going to say that.
Like, he was Darth Maul, and then he... Oh, never mind. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say something, like, clearly there's something special about her and her black... the fact that she's a black bud, because she kind of took more violence and more punches than he did, and yet he's on the ground at the very end, and she's kind of still hanging on to life.
Well, two swords in, you would think, hey, it's got to be something where you're kind of dead, right?
Yeah.
And she's not dead. Maybe it has to do with her physiology. Maybe it has to do with her magical ability. Maybe it has to do with her stamina. We don't know.
We did see a little bit of her magical ability earlier on in the show, though. She created, like, some sort of...
For an instance.
Invincibility mm-hmm. vortex. And I was assuming that would happen at the end of the show as well. Yeah. And that's why I was curious to see, oh, like, why...
She didn't use any magic.
Yeah. Maybe it's something she can't fully control yet, and it only comes out at certain times.
Grow. See, I was gonna say, I agree. I thought that we would have saw some of her magic at the very end of the episode, because we haven't seen... Talent on this journey since she was a little girl and she was living on her own to now, so we don't know if she was in any other very dangerous situations.
We would assume with her training that she's been very well trained, and she also did not fret when attacked, so we're assuming that that training is on and off the field.
Yeah, because I was going to say, when the magic came out when she was young, it's because she was in that, like, live or die situation. It comes out in that moment of, like, desperation. I need something to happen. And that was, I felt like that was kind of a moment here, you know? She's
two swords in, it's kind of a panic. It's kind of like, oh, he's stabbing me. Maybe invincibility vortex time.
I think if she did show some type of magic, it would have been a very nice segue into the next episode.
Well, I think a very nice segue into the next episode was definitely, hey, Dredd, one's alive. We need to take her out, right? Now, I get it. I get that. I think that with, what's his name, Togo Maru?
Toru Magmore.
These names are Magmore. So ridiculous. Like, I get Toru, but then Jonzo and... I don't know.
Well, I mean, like I said, they try.
Thank God for Garrett.
They try. They're trying to make it mystical, right? So Toru Magmore, which Toru is either a name or a title held by him, we don't know. He's clearly a very excellent fighter. And yet, he fails at fighting. He fails at fighting an opponent who's not, for whatever we can say, is not as good a fighter as he, because... he disarms her, because he's stronger, because he's a hired mercenary who's ruthless, to say the least. How do we know he's ruthless? Because she's on this quest to find the six-fingered man who killed her father, right? My name is Inoya Matoga, and you killed my father.
You killed my father,
prepare to die. That's the whole concept, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we see that. I'm not saying the fight scene was out of it, but I do agree when you said it seemed very forced and uncoordinated. Mm-hmm. And it didn't have to. It didn't. She attacks the person. I will say this. We were all kind of shocked when she took two swords. We're like, first episode? Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big one. Knowing we knew she wouldn't die because there has to be a tomorrow, but we were surprised.
Unless the entire story is told in flashbacks now, from this point forward.
She just dies.
Yeah, she's dead, guys. She's dead. That's my prediction.
The concept is that fight scene could have been done so much more, even with less. You're going through the motions. Why not do them well?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's everything, though. I feel like they overdid it in certain aspects, where even when you're trying to invoke this feeling of fear... you don't have to show what the monster looks like when it comes to the plague... what are they called? Plaguelings?
Plaguelings.
Yeah, you don't have to show it. Like, the best horror films are the ones that don't show the monster, because it elicits a greater emotional reaction, because fear of the unknown is greater than something that you see right in front of you, right? So, I don't know, just... They can do less. They can do, like, more with less. And I just feel like... it's a little cheesy at this point with the fight scenes, and I hope we can see something a little
for
better.
No reason.
Like Kill Bill fight scenes. Let's do Kill Bill fight scenes.
Xena Warrior Princess is not the best show, but those fight scenes were fun. Hercules was fun, and this is the mode where a lighter version of the, this is supposed to be a darker version. Even the color of the entire show, it's dark. It wasn't day. Even during the day, it wasn't day. Mm-hmm. Even during the day, it was
only in the past. Cloud. If you notice, cloudy. They specifically chose happier, brighter lighting when it was before the entire massacre, mm-hmm. when they're running around in the field and
great lighting, yeah. best lighting of all time. Yeah. It was well lit.
Instagram lighting. You
it
know?
Was a filter. It was great. Oslo. Boom, they got it.
Oslo's the worst, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Everyone loves Oslo. I just want to throw that out.
Mayfair is a little better, a little pinker. Yeah.
That's hate right there. You're basically Tohu Maru or whatever his name is. Magru Bagogo.
Magmore, get it straight.
Tragra Bagragra. That's you.
Anyway, for all of you out there listening, we know some of you found us on YouTube, but I also just want to let you know that we are on iTunes. We never forget about you, AfterBuzzers, who listen to us on iTunes. I would just like to say, you know, if you are enjoying us, talk about the show and want to hear us talk about the show more, get our opinions on how this show will develop, please go to iTunes, like, subscribe, and leave comments. Well, even if we see a comment, we'll give you a shout-out on air. So please go subscribe, because we know that you're there, and we want to discuss more with you. But that being said, let's go back to
Togru Mogagra. No? Okay.
I always want to say, like, Magoo.
Exactly.
But it's not Magoo.
Togo Magoo.
It's not Magoo. But
Magmore.
Tori Magmore.
All right. So let's kind of go back to, I know we've touched on it briefly, but let's go back to this world of, this topic of world building and kind of how they tried to do that very quickly. They kind of, in the beginning, showed these exterior shots of what we thought was New Zealand, but it actually turns out that they filmed this in Utah, which I wouldn't have expected that. Like,
Utah's very mythical.
For a huge budget like this? Really? Oh, damn, yes. Okay.
Well, actually, it's surprising. A lot of these shows are shot in Canada when they have a limited budget. Utah mm-hmm. might actually be more expensive. I don't know the tax breaks that happen in Utah. It's the reason why Atlanta has become Hollywood's new home yeah. is because of the increasingly and
cheaper.
Amazingly excellent tax breaks that companies receive where you get money back. So I don't know what the tax breaks are in Utah. And Utah's a very majestically fantastical place.
I do have to say, I did really love those scenes. They did look really great. So I was very impressed by that. And then,
they looked very great, as in they should have used an iPhone instead of whatever camera they used, because that's clearly the case. They could have just used the iPhone. It would have came out much clearer. Let alone a Samsung. With the Samsung, it would have been like, wow, that's crystal clear. I actually thought
Tyron's
the glaze.
Tyron's trying to get sponsored right now.
I'm just letting you know. I'm already sponsored by Samsung.
Brand deals, yeah.
Oh, gosh. But, so let's go. We kind of already touched along the Plaguelings, which was their version of weird zombies, like more or less human looking, but not really. And then we also kind of touched upon really quickly the gray skins. Again, world building. They're trying to establish this is a world of humans that also lives in a world of zombie like creatures called Plaguelings and gray skins, which are basically like their version of trolls. I don't know. Did you guys assumed trolls, right?
Trolls. Went with trolls. I like trolls.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I don't know. The Plaguelings kind of reminded me of that character in Pan's Labyrinth, just not as artistically done.
I thought they were the cross between the zombie and the Blade 2 vampire. I'm talking
about
that.
I didn't get a zombie vibe at all.
Grayskins are very much trolls. Actually, one on my Twitter and actually wrote some hateful comments while we were talking.
You know,
watching the show. It's crazy. What a troll.
You know, actually, what it reminded me of, have you seen Little Shop of Horrors?
That's a good call.
Yeah.
I can see that.
A little bit. Like, I got a little bit of that from it. Like, you know, and that was, like, done way back when. So they kind of, like, stepped it up a little, you know? Yeah. Sorry, CW. Still love you.
Nah. They're figuring, like I've said, and we have mentioned this a lot throughout the after show, is they are trying to figure things out. I think it was a lot, especially for a fantasy show, to establish in the first episode. That being said, we should go into some predictions, I feel like, and see what is...
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Oh, man. So, we kind of, like I said at the last episode, we see that this Toru Magmor dies, and Talon is rescued by this guy. Don't know who this guy is, but I feel like, and this is me taking a wild leap of just trying to, like, expand this universe, thinking maybe he's some kind of magic user, maybe a druid or someone who knows of the Black Bloods that is going to tell her of
her past. Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Essentially, yeah.
Well, essentially, that's where they just took the
story. I mean, he was, like, wearing a leather, and he
had the beard. Yeah. Actually, I thought it was the same actor.
They had some crossover
If he wasn't dead, he would have been alive in this.
Yeah.
And then would have killed himself for being in this show.
Mm-hmm. But, I don't know, what do you guys think? Do you think... I personally think this show has a lot of potential. And
yes, potential is the best way to describe what this show has.
Yeah.
Nothing but potential.
That's also not a good way to assess.
Because we want to like the show. Yeah. We genuinely want to like the show.
The story is there. The actors, like, I mean, it's in the dialogue, honestly. I feel like the dialogue needs to be better. Because if I were to, like, just, like, look at a script of this, it would feel very, like...
forced, contrived, like, yeah, and not witty.
I don't think Michael Caine or, like... I don't think the best actor could, like, bring that script to life. I feel like the script needs a little bit more
work.
I don't know.
I feel like Tom Hardy as Garrett... would have killed it. I feel like Tom Hardy is Garrett.
I actually kind of see that.
There you go.
I'm going
Tom Hardy, and I'm predicting that Tom Hardy will not be Garrett. That is a prediction.
So then what do you think they can do in the second episode that would get you more on board?
Well, I'm predicting that we find out more about Garrett's mother, who we haven't heard from or heard of, and I feel like we would have, because Garrett comes off as a bit of what could be a mama's boy. So I think we find out a little tidbit of what happened to her in a snarky comment that he makes, where someone says something to the effect of, oh yeah, your mama, and then he's like, my mama's dead. And then we all get the stone-faced feel of what that feels like. Yeah. I also feel that we learn a little more about Talon's journey in between the age 10 and the age of 25, which she seems to be presenting now, where we see what happens in that time. That part of the journey where she goes on and she leaves this family and decides to take it upon herself to go through her Batman transformation, right? I also am predicting that we see a little more conflict between Garrett and Gwyneth now that an option has presented itself, one that Garrett seemingly knows that he really secretly wants, but even though Gwyneth is the one on paper that makes sense for whatever reason, this new stranger is presenting an undeniable attraction that he feels and can't, and now he can't have her, and he needs to because that is who Garrett is. And we also see Marshall Withers and Garrett butt heads in a big way, in a big way, which is going to lead, in my opinion, in the end of a culminating of Garrett overtaking and overthrowing his father's power by being the man of respect over his father.
So soon, you think?
I think by this season, I also predict that if things go the way they are, that 10 episodes, we won't see an 11th. So I'm hoping that it plays out this way. And that way, it gives me something to look forward to for a second season. Because one of the things that I hate to do is invest my time into a show, and then that show get canceled. That's like the worst thing to do. When you get mad at other people, why didn't you watch so that I can watch more? You know, and it can play for any show from Freaks and Geeks to Kingpin,
Arrested Development
to this. Why didn't you watch more? Those shows were brilliant. This show can be, and I'm predicting that it gets better by episode 5. Even Friends' first episode isn't that great.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes characters grow on you. And those predictions were so specific. I feel like you were one of the writers on this.
If I was one of the writers, you guys would all have loved the show.
But, you know, I think that we're going to find more about Talon's mom in a way where she somehow left some secret encrypted message for her that someone who's still alive is going to pass down to her. Mm-hmm. So I feel like... that's gonna happen.
The lone wolf guy at the end with the hoodie.
Obi-Wan, basically.
Lone wolf. I think Togo Marubi said something about a lone wolf who was supposed to have killed her but didn't. It's gonna be the story of, I couldn't come and do this myself. I couldn't kill the child, so yeah. I let her be, hoping that fate would take care of it.
And this is just like, you know, like Harry Potter, like how Harry Potter was immune to Voldemort's
spell. Harry Potter was immune. Yeah. This is a, feel like he took pity.
He specifically chose not to murder.
Yeah, and that's actually a story too, but...
Yeah.
The woodsman leaves the child in the woods.
Yeah.
And the child grows up. And now this is him again.
It's been done before. And there's nothing wrong with something that's been done before, because it always can be done in different ways, better, more creatively, whatever. I mean, every story, there's always like a specific plot line and storyline that's done repeatedly throughout throughout film history. But I will say that I think this universe is smaller than we think, and that there are way more degrees of connection that we don't know about, where even Garrett might have some connection to Talon's family and hasn't, like, put the pieces together quite yet.
They share the same mom, and it's Princess Leia and... No.
Oedipus.
And it has to be small, because it's the outpost. It's the outpost. And so they don't leave this place. They're here. This is it. We've seen basically every scene that and every... Every background that we're going to see. It's the outpost.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably...
It's not the outposts.
It's just one.
The
singular.
Outpost. Yeah. And that's here.
Yeah.
Which means it's on the outer edge of whatever this realm is to begin with. Mm-hmm. It's on the outside of everything that goes on. We might see... and I also predict that we're going to see way more of the Prime Order. Those soldiers are going to come to play. And that's going to cause conflict as well.
There's definitely going to be more character development as well, just because we have a very, like... pivotal line in this show that says no one just comes to the outpost. You have to be running from something to come here. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we're going to kind of follow each of these characters and find out, okay, what's Garrett running from? What's Talon running from? What's Gwen running from? It's going to be this repeated motif of what are you running from? What can you not escape? And what is your fate? And I think that will be really interesting to see in future episodes.
Now who wrote the show?
I think those are all very solid predictions. And I'm very excited to see... Well, I'm very interested to see where this show's going to go. But that is all the time we have for tonight. I hope you enjoyed watching along with us, hearing our opinions. I hope you come back. Guys, where can the people find you on social media?
Well, literally... I am Taran, meaning find me at I am Taran, IamTeHran, all across the board.
Hey guys, I'm Mina, and you can find me on Instagram at Mina Makes Magic.
I'm Veronica Valencia. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at It's Me, Veronica V. Again, thank you all so much for tuning in. We will be back next week at 10. Make sure to subscribe to our AfterBuzz sci-fi, fantasy, and superhero channel so you can get the latest updates. And yeah, again, make sure you come back next time. See you soon. From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments and questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.